Hello, I'm Quentin. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from pride, drug and alcohol addiction, and finding comfort in things other than Christ. Pray with me. Dear God, please help me be vulnerable. Please use my past to glorify you. Ease my anxiety, allowing me to articulate your message. Also, help me remember this isn't about looking good on the outside, but rather being fully known in order to help others see you. In your precious Son's name, amen. Growing up, I had a loving family and was the youngest of three. However, my self-centeredness and defiance to God's plan and any perceived authority has been a struggle from my early ages. This struggle became more evident and consequential when 1 month after my 16th birthday, I was in an accident that impacted my life, my family, and many other families. I was driving three of my closest friends home from school and lost control of my speeding vehicle and swerved off a bridge. The next thing I remember was waking up in a hospital a day later. Two of the passengers and I suffered relatively minor injuries. However, my closest friend at the time was in critical condition. He was taken off life support several days later. My reckless driving was the result of Matt's death. I was devastated but did not know how to properly deal with these emotions of guilt and shame. I learned it was easier to numb my feelings than to process them, and my substance abuse took off. I enjoyed the attention of being the drunkest guy at the party and the importance of being the guy that dealt all the drugs. After the accident, I started to question God and couldn't understand why he would let things like this happen. I felt defeated. I started proclaiming I was an atheist. I was spiritually bankrupt and continued to fill that void with anything but God. Looking back now, I realized I did believe in God, but I was struggling with resentment. I was accepted into the number one ranked party school in America, and I was also looking for a geographical change to escape from being known as the guy who's responsible for the fatal car accident. My time in college was a blur. I had mediocre grades from rarely attending class and drinking a liter of whiskey every night and then more in the morning to kill my hangover. One night, I was blacked out and I face planted on ice, cracking my two front teeth in half. Later in my story, God used this dark moment to introduce me to one of the biggest blessings in my life. But for this season, my alcoholism intensified and most of my friends started to distance themselves from me. At the age of 19, I got pancreatitis for the first time. Pancreatitis is often caused by excessive drinking, but doesn't usually occur until later in life. After spending a week in the hospital, I was told that I could never drink again or pancreatitis could kill me. I got pancreatitis three more times before my 21st birthday. Every time I'd go to the hospital, I would be given strong opiates for the pain and sent home. This is when I discovered how effective opiates were at numbing feelings and escaping from life. When I would run out of pain pills, I would start to buy them on the street. One of my dealers introduced me to smoking heroin. My addiction progressed so fast, I couldn't manipulate enough money out of my parents to keep up with my consumption. My senior year of college, I committed armed robbery and burglary of one of my dealer's homes to get money to feed my heroin addiction. I was facing four felonies and 20 years in prison. After initially trying to lie my way out of the crimes, I was caught red-handed. I admitted to my lawyer and my parents I was addicted to heroin. While on bond for my pending charges, I returned to Dallas and entered a drug and alcohol treatment facility. I was at my bottom, and I was bracing for time in prison. I approached recovery with the utmost importance. I decided to give a drug-related 12-step fellowship a shot, even though I wasn't sure about my higher power. At this point, God put my mentor in my life. He'd been sober for 20 years and faced significant prison time when he got sober, such as I. I was scared, but God was surrounding me with people who were living proof that sobriety is possible. During step three, he shared the gospel with me in a Denny's diner, and I accepted Christ for the first time in my life. He explained to me that there was no amount of sin or a specific sin Christ could not forgive and offer redemption. I started to believe that whatever the outcome of my pending sentencing was, I would share the message of recovery in Christ as a changed man, either in prison or in the rooms of recovery. After being sober for 6 months, I went in front of the judge for sentencing. I remember hitting my knees in the bathroom at the courtroom, praying for peace for whatever the outcome was going to be that day. I prayed Psalm 142, 6 and 7. Hear my cry, for I'm very low. Rescue me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Bring me out of my prison so I can thank you. The godly will crowd around me, for you are good to me. To everyone's surprise, I was sentenced to 10 years probation, 1 year of living in a sober living house, and probation monitored 12-step meeting attendance. I was ecstatic and given grace on something I most definitely did not deserve. This was an example of God's grace played out in my own life. I was forgiven and not given the punishment I deserved. When I hit my knees in that courtroom praying Psalm 142, I promised to God that I would share how God has been good to me. I started spending most of my Friday nights at a detox facility sharing the message of hope and recovery through Christ. I was asked to speak at other 12-step recovery groups around the city. I volunteered my weekends as a part-time football coach at a local Christian school mentoring teenagers. And I started sponsoring guys through the 12-step fellowship. I remember being told faith was like the wind. You can't always see the wind, but you can see the effects of the wind. Being able to reflect on what God did in my life through my darkest moments, my faith was strengthened. The purpose in my life had been radically changed, but still had many areas of sin unaddressed. I stayed away from drugs and alcohol, but I gambled, struggled with porn regularly, and had sex routinely outside of marriage. I believe that since I was sober from alcohol and drugs, these other behaviors weren't that big of a deal. This continued to linger in the background of my recovery until I found regeneration. After being sober for 4 years, I had the financial resources to permanently fix my front teeth I knocked out in that drunken days in college. When at the oral surgeon's office, I met the biggest blessing I talked about earlier. The surgical assistant agreed to go on a date with me after many requests. She later became my wife. Our first date, coincidentally, was on February 22nd, 2012, which was also the fourth anniversary of my sobriety. In God's perfect plan, he turned a dark moment in college to introduce us to one another. We started attending The Porch, Watermark's ministry to young adults, and on Sundays together as well. A year after our first date, we got married. Being so in love, we found ourselves worshiping each other rather than God first. We dragged our feet on joining community. I slowly stopped attending recovery meetings and stopped being of service using the story of grace God had entrusted to me. After being sober for 5+ years, I hurt my shoulder and was prescribed some non-narcotic painkillers. I quickly became addicted. Being prideful, I chose not to share it with my wife or recovery friends that I was struggling with the pills. I had become complacent in my recovery, isolating and being oblivious to the quick decline I was in. In a period of 6 months, I went from stronger pain pills with multiple doctors giving me prescriptions to buying heroin on the street again. In July of 2014, my wife caught me using, so I went to detox for 5 days to break the physical dependence. I stayed at a recovery home while I got my recovery back in focus. After completing an intensive outpatient program, I moved back home with my wife and started attending Regeneration. In my region small group, I was paired with other men that had a variety of struggles and came from varying walks of life. God used every one of those guys to impact me significantly, despite all of our differences. Before Regen, I would only be vulnerable with people who had been through the same experience I had because I feared being judged by them. Through this process, I learned how to be completely authentic in all areas of my life. One of the greatest blessings I received was the feeling of grace and unconditional love within that group. God showed me that I was not defined by the number of days I had been sober, number of people I sponsored, or how often I was asked to share my recovery story. I was a child of God, and in that deep understanding, all of my purposes and comfort could be fulfilled. I was motivated to serve and obey God from love and grace rather than fear and approval-seeking behavior. Through inventory, I realized the damage other behaviors had on all my relationships. I used to gamble to entertain or escape from something that was bothering me. I realized gambling was a thrill-seeking behavior that distracted me from my reliance on God. I still struggle at times with the need to find affirmation from worldly things, but I see those as indicators or signs of when I'm being less concerned of God's will. I started serving in prison ministries to share God's story of grace in my own life. I also share the gospel with those men despite my initial fear and discomfort. I must be careful because I can also become prideful thinking I am earning my salvation. I remember Ephesians 2:8-9 regularly. For it is grace by you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no man may boast. My wife and I joined a community group of newly married couples, and I became vulnerable with them. I no longer diluted the truth to try and control other people's perception of me. I am now transparent with my wife, and in doing so, have been met with so much love and acceptance. I thought sharing certain things with her would doom our relationship. After prayer and biblical counsel, I was encouraged to share specifics of my regen inventory with her. Through this process, our relationship has actually strengthened and grown stronger. We now have a level of intimacy that I had never experienced before. I also started to be dedicated daily to prayer, meditation, and time in God's Word. I was surrounded by a group of guys through region and community that hold me accountable. In God's perfect timing, I became a father the day after my region commencement ceremony when my wife gave birth to our twins, Bowen and Eve. I had a lot of anxiety and fear about being a father. God used the men in my region group to display what a godly father looks like. If I want my kids to avoid some of the paths I traveled and be committed to their faith, I need to lead by example. God showed me I need to model and practice all the attributes I want them to carry. Each day, I struggle to submit to God's will. I still struggle with self-centeredness over obedience to God's plan. This looks like choosing work and money and success over time with my family and kids. However, today I have people around me that will speak into my life when I'm becoming less focused on serving God over myself. I try to surround myself with people that would tell me the truth rather than what I want to hear to co-sign an unhealthy behavior. My wife, working the steps, my counselor, and my mentor have been pivotal in helping me to understand my inclination to do this. I've learned that my worth or value doesn't come from pleasing others to increase their opinions of me. I've learned to create healthy boundaries with those closest to me. Being obedient to God's plan and valuing the teachings of Jesus are now my highest priority. I'm still learning that I'm lovable for who I am. I'm not defined by my addiction or my poor decisions. I am a chosen and forgiven child of God. I have learned that prayer is an important act of humility for me. When I'm in prayer, I'm admitting that I need help and want God to be in control. I've been in recovery for 9+ years and spent most of that time sober despite a couple relapses. I give all the credit for my sobriety to God, this program, and my wife. As soon as I think I'm responsible for all the blessings of my life, the closer I am to losing them. I hope the one thing you hear from my testimony is that I'm not perfect, nor am I bad trying to act perfect. The better I look on the outside, the closer I am to forgetting how deeply I need to put my reliance on God. I still struggle daily, but have found the King of Kings to comfort and guide me. I hope you are encouraged to be more vulnerable, to allow the people God has placed around you to speak truth into your life. God has given each one of us our own unique set of experiences that can always be used for His glory if you take the effort. Today I can say I'm grateful for my battle with addiction, because without that I may have never been motivated to submit to God's will and experience the grace of Jesus. My name is Quentin. I have a new life in Christ. I'm recovering from pride, drug and alcohol addiction, and finding comfort in things other than Christ. I give God all the glory for the things He's done in my life. Thank you.